business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, State of Jefferson, and welcome to yet another Sunday morning here at 1460 KCNR. And I'd like to wish everybody a happy day and wish that it was a better day and be a little bit more cheerful. But our thoughts and prayers go out to an awful lot of our Jefferson brothers and sisters that are under the threat of wildfire this morning. Quite a bit of the North State is on fire from Lake County to Modoc County. So anybody that's out there, you know, your home or your property is under threat, know that our thoughts and prayers are with you. I know it's especially bad here to the west of us in Trinity County where I grew up. One of the small towns there, Hayfork, is under heavy threat of fire. They've basically been surrounded by wildfire all the way out Highway 36 to small communities like Heim Palm and Mad River and Ruth have been hit pretty hard. Heard last night that they did lose some structures out in Trinity County. Haven't heard how bad or what yet, so we're kind of waiting on some news for that. And for those of you that have heard me speak on wildfire, you know it's kind of a personal pet peeve for me. Growing up in the mountains and growing up in the woods, wildfire is absolutely the enemy for us up there. You know, it's like if you live in the Midwest in a trailer, you're going to deal with tornadoes, or if you live along the Gulf Coast or the East Coast, you're going to deal with hurricanes, and up here it's going to be wildfire. And you're never going to get away from wildfire. The threat is always going to be there, but what aggravates me the most is the amount of danger that people have been placed in. How severe these fires are is absolutely able to be mitigated. It's absolutely able to lessen the danger to life and property. But we exist under a government that does not allow it, does not enable that, and actually perpetuates policies that make the danger to the population worse. environmental policy from the federal government and the state of California both does not allow us to tend to our forests, to properly manage them. They allow them to be overstocked. They do not allow the fuels to be cleaned. They no longer allow the roads that cut into the forest that allows the infrastructure to appropriately fight these fires to be cut. And because of it, We are suffering under several different things. One are these catastrophic wildfires that, you know, in times past would have been 40, 50-acre lightning strike fires easily contained, easily gotten to through Forest Service access roads or logging access roads and dealt with. And now, due to ridiculously dry conditions and the inability to get to the areas to fight the fires and the overstocked nature of the forest, they're basically giant bonfires. So that's kind of one of the things that I wanted to hit on this morning and talk about is one of the reasons that is so vital for the state of Jefferson and the insanity of the policies out of Sacramento. We were in Trinity County a couple weeks ago waiting for the board there. Mark Baer did a presentation. They put the Jefferson question on the agenda for the future for the board to vote. But we're looking at a county that is $40 million in debt right now. They're in the red. They don't know how they're going to pay for anything. Their law enforcement is cut back to the bare bones. You're talking about a county that if you grabbed it by the corners and stretched it flat, Trinity County would be the size of Texas. And they are attempting to patrol that county with like four officers and the sheriff. Their public health and safety is being threatened because of the lack of revenue in their budget. Yet in the Shasta Trinity National Forest, which is their front door, their backyard, their side yard, is stocked with 8 billion, billion with a B, harvestable timber. Now, what harvestable timber is, and I'm sure you guys have heard me say this before, harvestable timber is an old tree that is ready to cut down and take into the mill. Otherwise, it's going to fall down into the forest, and it's going to rot and become ridden with bugs and pine beetles and become the fuel that starts these flambe-type catastrophic wildfires that rip through our forest at such incredible speed and destruction that hasn't been seen before. So here you have this county that is suffering and unsure how they're going to keep the doors open, basically, that is sitting on a virtual gold mine of wealth that they are unable to touch because of policies out of Sacramento and federal policies that Sacramento will not defend them from. I mean, how insane is it that instead of turning it into wealth, instead of turning it into prosperity for the people of the county, the people that live there, instead, the state allows it to become an endangerment to those people and to the public safety. You know, and for me, there is nothing worse than a fire, because when a fire goes through and people lose their homes, they lose everything. I mean, they lose everything that they've worked for. A lot of times for the people that live up there, it's everything that their parents and their grandparents have worked for. It's the family heirlooms, it's the heritage, it's everything wiped clean. And for the most part, most of it could be avoided, and not only avoided, but turned into wealth to help the people and their posterity prosper. And it's one that just really, really sticks in my craw. It always has. With logging comes maintenance, and when the loggers go through and they log something, they clear up the slash. What slash is all the junk that falls on the forest floor and becomes ankle and calf deep fodder and kindling. They collect all of that up. They burn it. They maintain the forest. They keep it clean. They thin the forest so that there's not these massive treetop-to-treetop fires that you're seeing. They get rid of the ladder fuels. Ladder fuels is that low-lying slough and trash that's on the ground that, you know, leans up against other trees and catches and gets into the trees and burns everything out. Not only that, when they go in and they log, they are able to cut access roads that allows for quick response to fires so that they can get the equipment in there to get them contained and save people's homes. We're looking at two exact opposites of the scales of where we could have an absolute benefit for the people and absolute destructive policies that endanger everybody. So Wanted to talk about that a little bit. We are going to have a update, a county-by-county Jefferson update right here on the other side of our first break. And then there's a couple other things that I'd like to get into. If you have noticed, it is just the bear today. The mouse is off. Her husband is out doing his duty for his country. So we will be seeing her back next week. And we'll see you back right on the side of this break.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. We're going to dive right in here. We got Terry Repose on the line with a county-by-county update for us on Jefferson as we're starting to kind of wind our way into the end of the year and approach legislation for next February. Terry, you there?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Yeah, I want to hear a little bit more. I've got a couple questions to ask you, too, about Trinity, but before I do that, I'll go ahead and give an update county-by-county. Siskiyou County is in, and that was a declaration signed by the Board of Supervisors for withdrawal. Modoc County is in with a declaration signed by the Board of Supervisors. Lassen County is in with a declaration signed by the Board of Supervisors. Glenn County is in a 5-0 vote by the supervisors. Yuba County is in with a declaration. Sutter County is in with a 5-0 vote by the supervisors. We also have Lake County, which is in. And we also have, last but not least, Tehama County, which got in by a vote, a popular vote, and that was initiated by the Board of Supervisors. It was 57-4, 43 against, and therefore they signed a declaration. So we have 8 counties that are in. Now, the counties that are in play is Sierra County, and with their support statements, they are only 300 signatures away. Over in Colusa County, they are only 400 signatures away. In Trinity County, they are only 900 signatures away with the support statements. Nevada County is in play. They basically have got two different areas they're working with, actually three. Board of Supervisors, which at this point hasn't been too positive. They are working on their own initiative and also with support statements for the right to redress the grievance. Placer County is in play. El Dorado County, we go to on August the 11th. El Dorado County looks pretty good. The supervisors seem to be very positive. So El Dorado County looks good. Butte County, we have a gentleman running against one of the supervisors there that was non-committal and basically wishy-washy on the state of Jefferson. The gentleman that's running against him has been a supervisor in the past and is very, very well thought of, and he is running on the platform of signing a declaration for the withdrawal from the state of California to join the state of Jefferson. Plumas County is in play. We think we have two votes up there. However, at this particular point in time, we are working on signatures, and Plumas County looks close. Shasta County has been amazing, and you guys here have been fantastic when it comes to getting support signatures. We do not need the Board of Supervisors for this particular situation because anyone can sign this declaration. We can go ahead and attach a declaration to signatures and therefore submit that to the Secretary of State, the Senate Pro Tem, and the Assembly Pro Tem. Shasta County looks very, very good. I think there's somewhere around 15,000 signatures at this point. Could be more. I've been gone for 2 weeks. Mendocino County has a committee. They look like they are moving along. They're actually getting, which is surprising, they're quite a liberal county, but they're getting a lot of supervisors that are moving their way. I think we all understand that California is really becoming a mess and has been a mess for a long time. And with Mendocino neighboring Lake County and seeing the fires that are going on there and neighboring Trinity County and seeing the fires that are going on there, they have to be thinking at least for survival, because with California, we're going to be lucky if we all live through this. Humboldt County, they have just started up a new committee, and Del Norte County is back in the hunt with wanting to take another approach at the new Board of Supervisors. So that gives you sort of a blow-by-blow description of what's going on in Jefferson.
Yeah, and it is a very good, very positive news. You know, we have hit a little bit of a grind, but a lot of that is, you know, it's a lot of groundwork that has been laid over the last several months that is coming to fruition. And in some of these counties, like you said, there's new boards of supervisors that we kind of had to restart the process with of getting them to understand.
Well, you know, Red, you hit on something, you know, with Trinity County, and I'd like to expand on that a little bit, because what's happening in Trinity County is also happening in Lake County. I mean, there's fires there.
They're bad.
It's just the insanity. I mean, people, what is it going to take for people to understand that California is just unbelievably destructive? I mean, there's these particular laws that are being passed, and the policies that are being done by the state government are destructive. There was a letter to the editor this morning in the paper about a gentleman who was talking about a fire and how Cal Fire has not gotten back to him on a specific fire on their investigation. His neighbor lost his home. They haven't received any. They checked to see where the money was going. This gentleman did, and that, again, that letter is in the paper. They checked to see where the money was going. Obviously, the money is going to, it's supposed to be going to people who are supposed to be helping you with fire prevention. They haven't had any exercises. They haven't seen anything. And how long have we been paying this fire tax now? Is it 2 or 3 years?
I think this is the third round.
Okay, so when you look at this, and actually, if you look at it, it may be longer than that, because the first year that they did charge the fire fee was retroactive, if everybody remembers. You actually got a bill for the year before. I think you got a bill as far back as 2011 for this thing.
And that money is not helping Cal Fire. It's not buying equipment.
No, it's not buying equipment.
Hiring
it's
firefighters, and
yeah.
it's definitely not protecting people.
No, 60% of it's going to the general fund.
Yeah.
You know, and there's only about 3 to 4% that's actually going towards literature. This money is just being fluffed away. It's not doing what they said it would do, and in most cases, Cal Fire is having a hard time responding in the time it takes to respond. In this particular letter to the editor, this gentleman said that it took him an hour and a half to respond to the fire.
Well, they are stretched extremely thin and getting thinner. There's been several more lightning strikes between Humboldt County and Trinity County, basically along the 36 corridor. They've got over 60 blazes now.
Yeah, and here's the kicker. It isn't that the men and women in Cal Fire aren't great people. It's not that at all. It's not that they're not doing their job. It's that they're getting money, or they're not getting money that they said they needed to do the job in a proper fashion. They're not even getting the money.
No.
It's like saying, here, honey, here's grocery money. Your wife goes out and spends it on a mink coat. We don't have any food. Well, I spent on a mink coat, but I need more money. Well, what about the food? No, mink coat.
Yeah, it's
insanity.
It's like sending soldiers to war with no body armor and a BB gun.
There you go, buddy. And it's just insanity. And I know that your heart's really in with Trinity and I know that's home for you. And just the idea of the wealth, the idea of the economy, and the proper caretaking of the forest that the folks here in the North State could do. And I'm flabbergasted after being gone for a couple of weeks and being in Alaska. By the way, this is an interesting little point about Alaska. Do you know in Alaska that you can just request timber for your home? Do you realize that?
Yeah.
You just get your own timber for your home.
You also
guess who owns that land? The people.
The people.
Unbelievable. I mean, California, wake up, because it might be too late. Well, fact is, it is too late. There is no reason on the world that every board of supervisors, that every person in California shouldn't be looking toward a separation for the North State. Apparently, Southern California believes it would help them also. I mean, if we're a drag on them economically,
yeah.
Well, then wouldn't that help them? If you have a corporation and you have a part of that corporation that's not producing a profit, wouldn't it be better to delete them?
You would think. You know, and Southern California has their own issues and problems, and, you know, they certainly don't need to be subsidizing us if we're such a drain upon them.
You know, Red, this is changing the subject up a little bit, but I was not here when Congressman LaMalfa went to the Tea Party, and I listened to the YouTube and watched the YouTube, and I would suggest to people to go to that and start on minute number 56. To me, I was incensed by the ineptitude of someone we send to Congress that really is getting befuddled by solid fact and solid information from his constituents, and voted in a fashion that I believe he was told by his staff. There's just no way you can be in a position to not understand the facts of the TPA if you've read it. I mean, there's no way. There's just no way.
Well, that's the thing that stuck in me, is everything that he was saying was absolutely contradictory to what it says in the document. And, you know, to sit there and say that I have read this document and that's not what it says is not true. It's a lie, because that is exactly, in black and white, what that document says and lays out specifically.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, is that, you know, to me, it's like, you know, go ahead.
Well, it's 107 pages of laying out exactly what we were concerned about.
Exactly right. And the thing that bothered me also was the fact that he did call the constituents hysterical.
Yes, he did.
He did. I mean, we have it on tape. It was on Carl Bott's show on June the 19th.
And that actually, you know? That kind of dovetails into something that I kind of wanted to get into on Jefferson here on the second half of the show, because I had a conversation with a friend, pretty good friend of mine, been a lifelong friend, and you know, he made the comment as, you know, I don't agree with what you guys are doing. I don't think it's right. You know, this is a democracy. You guys are just kind of throwing a temper tantrum because you're not getting your way, and you know, it's not right that you want to shut down everything and change everything just to tailor it to you, because you didn't get your way and you didn't win. Basically, just kind of take your lumps and deal with it. That's how a good democratic society works. And I want to kind of dive into that on after this break. So thank you for the update, Terry, but we do got to get on to our other break. And I'm gonna kind of get into that, because I spent a lot of time actually thinking about that.
I think that's great, Red. And hey, great show. Have a great day, my friend, and we'll be listening.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I won't fight it. When the love starts burning, you got to do what's right. Whoa, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Whoa, lover, 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 you don't treat me no good no more. Well, the truth, yeah, it hurts to say,
I'm gonna pack up my bags and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split it, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit, ain't never coming back. But before I get to going, I got to say, there was a time, old woman, when you used to shake it for me. But now, all you do is just treat me cold. Ain't gonna take it no more, gonna walk out the door. Lover, lover, lover.
Welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind. And that song does kind of sum it up for me, at least in a lot of ways. Used to love State of California, and it ain't that way anymore. We do have an update on the fires here in Trinity County. Our trusted producer, Bob's going to go ahead and run those down here for everybody. The fires have doubled in size since yesterday, and there are new evacuations underway. So you want to go ahead and give those, Bob?
All right, thanks, Red. We'll have that up on the screen here momentarily. Updated information that we have on the fires burning in and around Trinity County this morning. Officials reporting that the series of lightning-sparked fires burning in Trinity County are now covering over 30,000 acres, more than double the size from Saturday. The largest of the complexes, as groups of fires are called, is the Fort Complex, burning south of Hayfork between Highways 3 and 36. That fire has grown to 23,400 acres overnight. And meanwhile, the nearby River Complex is burning 2,020 acres in the Denny area, further west in Trinity County and not far from Humboldt County. The Mad River Complex is burning 5,246 acres in far southern Trinity County near Ruth Lake. The fires were covering some 12,000 acres as of Saturday. Also, late word, there are two community meetings today for those affected by the Fork Complex, which is the largest in the series of fires in Trinity County. The first meeting is at 1 o'clock this afternoon at the Hayfork Community Church at 7450 Highway 3. The second meeting is at 4 this afternoon at the Higham Palm Volunteer Fire Hall in Higham Palm. The Fork Complex consists of over 40 lightning-sparked fires, and again is now covering 23,400 acres. Finally, mandatory evacuations were issued this morning for these areas affected by the Forks Complex in and around Higham Palm and Hayfork, the end of Curlin Creek Road, the Skunk Ranch area, the Manzanita Ranch area, Forest Roads 3N44, 4N09, 4N24, and 3N50, Underwood Mountain Road, which is also known as Forest Road 5N60, Post Mountain Ranch along Barker Creek Road, Morgan Hill Road from Pine Street to Kingsbury Gulch Road, Kingsbury Road, Center Street, and Dirt Road, Mill Gulch, Highway 3, north to Hayfork, Kingsbury Gulch Road, State Route 3 from State Route 36 to Higham Palm Road, State Route 36 from the junction with State Route 3 to Post Mountain, and State Route 3 south of the Hayfork Fairgrounds. Once again, mandatory evacuations have been issued this morning for those areas affected by the Forks Complex. And those are the latest updates we have on those grim fires burning in Trinity County. Red?
Well, thank you for that update, Bob. And, you know, for those of you that don't know the area locally and are listening from a little bit farther away, basically for the Hayfork area, that's all of it. It's pretty bad up there. And for me, it's my old stomping grounds. It's up my old backyard. You know, us kids when we were younger had a saying, we're just hicks from the sticks, 12 miles from the junction, Highway 3 and 36. And it's really troubling to me. I got a lot of friends and family up there, and hope they're doing okay. But one of the things that I wanted to dive into is this conversation that I had with a friend of mine, a good lifelong buddy. And he doesn't agree with the state of Jefferson and a lot of the other things that I'm involved in. He's kind of a real mellow, just kind of get along to, you know, go along to get along kind of guy. And, you know, he said, you know, I don't think it's right that every time that you don't get your way that, you know, you throw a fit or you want to kind of just shut everything down and you're just, you know, you're really reactionary and all of these different things. And it kind of set hard with me because I've known this guy a long time and we've always been honest with me. And it kind of started the gears grinding and going, man, you know, he kind of hit me hard on that. And I was sitting there thinking, and I was contemplating, you know, maybe I am a bit too aggressive. Maybe I am a bit too radical. Maybe I've gotten, you know, too focused where I'm not seeing the forest for the tree in front of me. Maybe I've become too insulated and, you know, I'm just kind of out of touch with the rest of the reality that's out there for the majority of Americans. And, you know, I started thinking, you know, even Thomas Jefferson took losses to Congress in votes and George Washington lost. And, you know, we were very much set up on the idea of a give and take in this country and open discussion. And then it really kind of started me thinking, we weren't talking about basic fundamentals back then. Back then, there was already a consensus. There was a social agreement on the fundamentals of morality and law and what the government should do and they shouldn't do. They were having higher intellectual discussions. They were much further down the road into the fine points of what the country should look like. They were fine-tuning the machine, whereas now we're almost back to this fundamental transformation of our government. So we're not arguing, you know, kind of pie in the sky intellectual points here. We're talking about the basic fundamentals of, is our Constitution valid? You know, did I misinterpret and did I misunderstand it that, you know, maybe our founding fathers sat back and expected our country to evolve into this quasi-socialist country where 34% of the people support a lying, thieving, traitorous, backstabbing witch for president simply because she's a female. You know, maybe my founding fathers really did sit back and one day imagine some kind of utopia where we would murder live children and chop them up like livestock to sell them. You know, maybe I'm the one that's actually missing the boat on all of this, and our founding fathers wanted to develop a government that was going to evolve to the point where their policies directly harm their constituents, where they lie and steal and do everything they can to steal the prosperity from the people. Maybe I'm the one that was out of touch. And this kind of sat with me, and I thought about it, and I kind of came to the conclusion that my buddy's a sissy and that he just wants to hide behind intellectual thoughts so he doesn't really have to admit how bad it is and get off his butt and do anything. So, you know, for the people that are out there and they're saying, oh, you guys are just too radical, you need to go along. And no, there's some things where there can be discussion, there can be compromise, but there are certain things that there is no surrender on. There are certain things that are uncompromisable, and there are things out there that, why are people not up doing what they need to be doing? At what point does it take? I mean, where is that trigger for you? And I've hit this theme before. At what point, where do you set that line for yourself to say, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to get up and do something? Because ultimately, you take the fires, for example. California and federal policy are directly endangering the lives of friends and family of mine. And they are stealing the prosperity from their children and their grandchildren. Yet, we continue to elect the people that do that and enable those policies. Why do we do that? Why do we sit back and lazily just check an R or check a D or check anything? Why are we not out there getting involved? Why are we not out there finding good people so these kind of things don't happen? You know, and it kind of brought me back to my buddy and the thought process of, oh, well, that's just, you know, kind of the way it is, and that's the way that it, you know, it needs to be, and you win some, you lose some kind of attitude, and that's not enlightened, that's lazy, that's surrender, you know. And I've gotten to the point where, and for me, maybe it is a little bit more intense because I'm dealing with it on a day-to-day, hour-by-hour basis on some of the things this government is up to and the things that they're doing. And, you know, I'm very knowledgeable on it up to the minute. But to me, the fundamental contract of the Constitution is non-surrenderable. It's non-negotiable. It's not a living document. It is not to be altered. You know, it's... I don't have a good analogy for this, but if you went to work, and when you first went to work, you signed a contract that gave you platinum medical care, okay? And you knew that you were going to have platinum medical care your whole life, and then one day you get cancer, but instead of exercising your right to that platinum medical care, because some Nimrod has decided that it is trendy and better for the planet to not treat cancer and let nature take its course because that's the way that it should be. You're either going to survive or not. Would you not exercise that option in your contract for that health care? Because if you don't, you're an idiot. It's the same thing. The Constitution is a contract between our government and ourselves, and it's not a contract on what they can do. It's what they can't do. That was written to stop the government from passing laws that hurt anybody. What our government does now is they pass laws that hurts a certain group of people that don't vote for them so that they can take away and give to the people that do vote for them. You've got this great big trading and stealing from one group to the other to basically buy their citizens off. And the intention of our government originally was that the government shall cause no harm, period, to anybody. Not one group and not the other. It's supposed to be equal application. And, you know, just to say that, you know, you win some, you lose some kind of attitude is wrong. Kind of everybody's supposed to win in America. That's the idea. Under a free market capitalist system, everybody has a chance to generate great amounts of wealth. When you have a captured market that destroys that and then you start transferring wealth around, you break that system. When you start passing laws that enables one group of citizens, or especially in California, non-citizens, at the expense of another group of people, you break that system. And that system is broken, and we are seeing the results of it in so many different ways. We're seeing it in these wildfires. We're seeing it in this Planned Parenthood fiasco where they're murdering and selling babies. We're seeing it in the loss of our sovereignty and trade agreements. We're seeing it in the loss of our protections in the food that we eat. We're seeing it everywhere. And my question is where do you get up? Where is your trigger that you get up and actually do something about it? Or have I've been lied to and misunderstood, my fellow citizens, all this time, and you're not Americans, and you're not able to stand up and do anything that you want, and you're just a bunch of weak, bleeding sheep? That's the question I have. But we do have to get to our break, and Bob, if you can hold through the break, we will get to you right after that.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
This is Jonathan Anderson, director of the Good News Rescue Mission. In response to the concerns of our community caused by the recent recession, changes in our state law, prolonged drug problems, and an increase in mental health issues, the mission has examined its policies and practices in order to take a proactive approach. We have developed great incentive programs to help keep people off the streets and to help them break the cycle of poverty. However, we have also implemented strict policies to deter those who are criminally active and bent on destruction in our community. Any guests who are caught loitering, stealing, or panhandling will have an alert placed on their electronic account and will be denied services until they speak with a case management team to address their negative behaviors. Last year, with these efforts, we helped 250 people break their cycle of poverty and are no longer on the streets of Shasta County. To help break the cycle of poverty in our community, please visit us at gnrm.org.
This summer, we can all save energy and money together. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that you may qualify for one of the many rebates available for upgrading your appliances, adding insulation and window screens, or making other energy-saving improvements to your home or business. please visit reupower.com to learn how you may earn a credit on your electricity bill. Save energy, save money. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Reading is powerful together.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up and not speak. Grunt, no strength. The matter starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High choir and a fire. Represented seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to west are coming in a hurry with the fury's breathing down your neck. Keep my team reporters.
Welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind. We're going to dive right into our phone call here for Bob. Bob, you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Right? All right. All right. Thank you for holding, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, I want to thank you for saying what you're saying about these firefighters. I have a grandson who's a volunteer firefighter, and these guys put their life on the line every summer because of our stupid government. Yeah, I mean, not that it would 100% go away, but I would say 85% would go away, and we'd still have forest fires.
Yeah.
But my main thing is I wanted to ask, and it's been bugging me since last Monday. We had a speaker. I don't know if I should mention his name. Last time I mentioned the name, I got in trouble. But anyway, he's a pretty influential person. And he made a comment about our government. Now, here we are, the state of Jefferson, and we can get stuff like the first 13 colonies, first 13 states. But he was making a comment that our government today, if you decide to go to and make another state, or if you want to do something in your state, the federal government now wants something in trade. Mm-hmm. When you want to go do this, they want something back. Now, our main thing is lumber, mining, trucking, things like that. What would become of the state of Jefferson? And I'm on the state of Jefferson side because I've done a lot of fighting for this.
I know, Bob.
What would become of us if our federal government said to us, okay, and we go through the state assembly and everything, and we get the state of Jefferson, but then they say, well, you can't have the lumber, you can't have the water, you can't have the mining, and we're not going to help you with your trucking problems. Where does that leave us?
Well, legally they can't do that because of the Enabling Act. As a new state, we are able to enter on the exact same terms as the original 13 colonies entered the states. All the land is ours. Everything is ours. The federal government has no say in it. And if they attempt to supersede that law and supersede the rule of law in such a fashion, at least for me, we're talking about a different kind of fight.
Okay, so then we have a different leg to stand on to go after them to get what we want.
Absolutely. We have the Enabling Act that ensures that we come in with full sovereignty and dominion over our lands, our resources, and we also have the 10th Amendment to tell the federal government back off.
Okay. I was just wondering, because, like I said, you were there, all of us were there. I wanted to make sure, because I've been looking, and I haven't been able to find where this was to settle my mind.
Yeah, start with the Enabling Act. And that,
the Enabling Act? Okay.
Yeah.
Real good, guy.
All right.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
You too. So, and Just to finish up the last couple minutes here and kind of get back onto the diatribe that I was on. You know, at what point, you know what, you know, I'm not even going to ask that question. It's not at what point do you say, am I a sheep or an American? It's past that point. If you are not in this fight yet, if your eyes are not open to what is going on in this country and what is happening to our people and what is happening to our government and the fact that our moral and lawful foundation is being ripped out from under us day by day, and that the people that we elect, regardless of Republican or Democrat, are enabling and hastening the destruction of this country, you're not paying attention. At this point, if you don't get it, you're probably hopeless. I actually have more respect for the other side, the enemy, that wants to turn us into some sort of socialist utopian totalitarian state because they think they're smart enough to manage everybody's lives. I have more respect for them than I do for you, because at least they know where they stand and they have the testicular fortitude to get up and do something about it, whereas everybody is just kind of sitting back and, it just is what it is. If you're not in this fight, what is wrong with you? Because you are aiding and abetting the enemy by doing that. You are allowing your country to be ripped out from under you while you sit there and bloviate excuses and talk about, I've got work, or I've got this, or I've got that. Yeah, well, we've all got work. We've all got kids. We've all got grandkids. But we're sitting here and we're in this fight, and we need to be in this fight because we're going to lose everything. What are you going to do? Are you going to be sitting in a camp someday telling your little grandson as he's there in his tent waiting for his rations, we had a great country once, but, Dancing with the Stars was on. I thought we were going to be okay. I voted for that guy because he had an R after his name. Wake up. Absolutely wake up. Quit making an excuse and choose a side. At least pick a side. At least have enough of your own will to do that. You know, like I said, I had this conversation with my buddy, and I did. I mulled it around, and I think it's even pushed me a little bit more, because when you're talking about my freedom, my safety, my ability to own property, my ability to have prosperity, the ability to die secure in the knowledge that my children and my grandchildren are going to grow up in a country that'll offer them the benefits that I had, to know that my friends and my neighbors and my family aren't going to be burned out by government policy, that they're not going to be stolen from. Yeah, I'm going to get pretty radical. Yeah, I'm going to be unflinching. Yeah, I'm going to have a temper about it. So, yeah, I don't know how to put it any more clearly. There's some things that I'm going to be unflinching on, because there are things that are not to be compromised, ever. You're going to have to kill me, bud. Plain and simple. And that's where we're coming with this fight. And if you don't get up and help engage with that fight, there is no hope for this country. That's not going to stop some of us from fighting. We'll go down the way that an American's supposed to, on their feet instead of on their knees. And if that's what our country's come to, and that's where we are, Then so be it. I'm out of touch with that reality and never will be in touch with it, because I don't get it. I don't understand that. It's not in my fundamental core as a person to sit idly by and watch others suffer and do nothing. It is not in my core or the fiber of my being or my raising to sit back and do nothing as I watch my children's future be plundered and stolen. It is not in my core to watch the greatest nation on the face of the earth be destroyed by the unwilling, the unable, the whiners and the criers, the snivelers, the people that want something for nothing, the people that are going to steal from everyone else to enable our own destruction. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I'm never going to get it. And that's who I am. And like I said, you need to get up and get in the fight, because if you're not, you're just helping it to happen. So with that, I'm going to leave you to think about it. I'm going to go home and stay close to the phone in case I got to go help friends and family evacuate. Thank you, government policy. Thank you for stealing a bunch of money from us that should be going to our firefighters so that our homes are safe. because not only are you endangering us, you're endangering our firefighters by not giving them the proper resources to do their job. And quite simply, we'll see you next Sunday, and until then, I've had enough. Have a good day, Jefferson.
Sovereign Minds is next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper has triggered an election campaign and set the vote for October 19th, dissolving the Canadian Parliament today.
It's an election about who will protect our economy in a period of ongoing global instability and secure Canada's future prosperity. And it is an election about who is best equipped to make the tough calls to keep our country safe.
Harper on CTV. He and his Conservative Party are seeking a fourth term after almost a decade in power. Analysts say the election is a toss-up and Harper faces an uphill battle to form another majority government. Malaysia's Transport Ministry is confirming that an airplane part found last week on the island, an island in the Indian Ocean, did indeed come from a Boeing 777. That increases the likelihood the wing flap is from Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. It's the only Boeing 77 that's currently missing. The part's been taken to a